The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 44. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." When he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, blessing God. The Gospel of the Lord. A few years ago, I had what many might refer to as a parental learning experience. Our family was getting ready to go somewhere, and we were anticipating being in the car for quite some time. And all of us were ready to go and getting into the car, except our then 6-year-old, Carly, who was still upstairs. And so, growing somewhat irritated, as can sometimes happen in our house, I opened the garage door into the house and I yelled up to her, "Hurry up! We're ready to go!" No response. "Come on! Hurry up! Do what I ask you to do. I'm tired of waiting." So finally, she comes downstairs, and she's carrying a Ziploc bag with what appeared to be some type of trail mix. And before I could ask her what it was, she handed it to me, and she said, "Daddy, I know that you like nuts and raisins and sunflower seeds. And I knew that we were going to be in the car for quite some time, and so I made you a snack. I thought you might want this for the car ride." And sometime later, it occurred to me that this incident mirrors the way many of us relate to God Himself. We often become so focused on what we want God to do for us, that we fail to see the beautiful things that He is already doing among us. We sometimes become so frustrated that God doesn't just do what we demand Him to do, that we fail to see how He's already working in our midst. And you know, that's what I love about the story of Jesus ascending into heaven. You know, Jesus was among his disciples for 3.5 years. And just before he ascends into heaven, he tells his disciples what he's going to do, and they still don't get it. You know, they say to him, "Great, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" In other words, they're saying to him, "Now that you've accomplished your mission, are you going to fix all of our political problems? Are you going to give us the perfect church? Are you going to solve all of our family squabbles?" And Jesus makes clear to them that he has an altogether bigger mission. He's showing them that by his ascending into heaven, he is working among us. The fact that Jesus ascended into heaven is not a story about how he's not with us anymore. It's a story about how he is now working among us. And so here's the question I want to ask today. How is God working? Now again, God doesn't tell us everything that he's doing and why he's doing it, but he does give us a good amount of information about how he's working. And these two stories in the book of Acts and in the book of Luke show us two ways that God is working. So, how is God working today? In two ways. He is enabling people to understand his message, and he is enabling people to implement his mission. Okay, so two ways that God is working among us. So let's look first. The first way God is working is he is enabling people to understand his message. Now, in the book of Acts, we see the apostle Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, writing to his friend Theophilus, saying, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up after heaven, into heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit." So he's showing that Jesus is one who's teaching people who he is. He's giving instructions. And in the passage in Luke, it shows us that he opened the scriptures so that they would understand his message. And Luke tells us what that message is. It's a message of forgiveness. The message of God is a message that in Christ, we're forgiven. He loves us. I sometimes tell people this way, he's not mad at us. Now, I think we would all agree that that's a great thought, it's a great truth, but the reality is, why do we sometimes not act like we're forgiven? And why are we sometimes so unforgiving of others? Well, I liken it to something that happened when I was a kid. Now, my mother is here today, and she might remember this story, but there was a shoe store in Pembroke Mall in Virginia Beach called Hofheimer's, and I remember being taken there on one occasion to get some new shoes for the start of the school year. And I had been wearing my other Kangaroos, I believe they were called, for quite some time, and had grown quite comfortable with them. And the new shoes that I tried on were somewhat stiff and uncomfortable. And as we put them on in the store, and the shoe salesman said, "Well, walk up and down the aisle." And as I walked, I remember my brother laughing and saying, "You're walking like a duck," because they just felt so uncomfortable. And I said, "I don't like these. They make me walk funny." And my mother said, "It's because you haven't gotten used to them yet. You have to become more comfortable with them." And do you know what the problem is with most of us Christians? The problem is we haven't gotten used to being forgiven. We haven't grown comfortable with the thought that God's forgiveness is freely offered to us. We like the idea of a God who forgives all of our sins, and yet we walk around so stiff all the time, so uptight about all of our problems and about everyone else's sins. We haven't gotten used to the reality of the gospel. And so we need Jesus to enable us to understand his message. That's really why we gather each Sunday, so that we can hear the scriptures proclaimed to us in the reading of the scriptures and the songs that are sung as we partake of communion. That's God slowly enabling us to understand and to become used to our forgiveness in Christ. So, that's the first way that God is working. He's enabling people to understand his message, a message of forgiveness. Now, there's a second way that we see in these stories, and that's this. God is enabling us to implement his mission. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses." And remember who he's speaking to. He's speaking to actually 11 disciples at this point, because one of them had left, Judas. He left among the 12, and he's speaking to 11 guys who, in reality, weren't that much better than Judas. They had their issues as well. And Jesus is saying, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and in all the earth, that his message would spread. Now, what is that mission? Well, we see something over and over again in the book of Luke and in the book of Acts. It's Jesus talking about something known as the kingdom of God. We see that in both of these passages. And the mission that Jesus gives us is that we give people a foretaste of God's kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God is not simply about just going to heaven, although that's part of it. The kingdom of God is not simply about just going to church, although that's part of it. When God speaks about his kingdom, he's speaking about his rule over all creation. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair, we just sang. And so Jesus is giving us the mission of giving people just a foretaste of his kingdom. It means that we should celebrate beauty. We should spend lots of time feasting and partying. It means showing love to people in our community. It means working for justice in the oppressed and the ill-treated. It means telling people that God loves them. It means not simply inviting people to go to heaven, but inviting people to come into our lives, regardless of how messy they might be. That's what it means to be witnesses of Jesus. That's what it means to bring his mission to the world, to implement his mission. Now, that's inspiring, but let's face it. In the meantime, there's laundry to do. There are kids to take care of. There are bills to pay. Never-ending amount of yard work to plow through. There are errands to run. There's a house to clean. There are health problems to endure. There are disappointments to live with. There's depression to fight. And we have a hard time really wanting to extend the message of God's forgiveness when we have all of these challenges. But you see, that's the beauty of it. If we hold to a Christian worldview, we have the assurance that because of Christ's death and resurrection, even those ordinary, mundane, sometimes irritating activities are not without meaning. And so, yes, we often become so focused on what we want God to do and how we want the church to be and how we wish that the world was, that our dissatisfaction and our discontent gets the better of us. And that's why we so desperately need to revisit the story of the ascension of Jesus on a regular basis. It helps us to remember that God is so gracious to send his Spirit among us sinful, frail, confused people to carry on his work and to be a church for the world, so that little by little we understand his message and we implement his mission. You know, one of my favorite writers from the 1950s and early 60s was a woman by the name of Flannery O'Connor. And Flannery O'Connor, in a letter to a friend in 1958, was responding to a complaint that a friend of hers had that all the churches she visited just seemed to be so full of problems, and that she just wished she could find the perfect church and the perfect community to live in, and that God would just fix everything right now. And Flannery O'Connor wrote her a letter that is just so beautiful, and we've included an excerpt of that letter as an insert in your bulletin. So if you have your bulletin with you, draw your attention to this little insert, and I'll finish with this. Flannery O'Connor, in a letter to her friend, she wrote this: "All your dissatisfaction with the church seems to me to come from an incomplete understanding of sin. What you seem actually to demand is that the church put the kingdom of heaven on earth right here, right now, that the Holy Ghost be translated at once into all flesh. The Holy Spirit very rarely shows himself on the surface of anything. You're asking that man return at once to the state God created him in, and you're leaving out the terrible, radical human pride that causes death. Christ was crucified on earth, and the church is crucified in time. The church is founded on Peter, who denied Christ three times and couldn't walk on the water by himself, and you are expecting his successors to walk on the water. All human nature vigorously resists grace, because grace changes us, and the change is painful. Priests resist it as well as others. To have the church be what you want it to be would require the continuous, miraculous meddling of God in human affairs, whereas it is our dignity that we are allowed more or less to get on with those graces that come through faith and the sacraments, and which work through our human nature. God has chosen to operate in this manner. We can't understand this, but we can't reject it without rejecting life. See what she's saying? She's saying, God ascended into heaven through Jesus to enable us to understand his message and to enable us to implement his mission in the world. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord that he has given us this good truth and this good task today, the ascension of our Lord. Let us pray. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that he ascended into heaven and is now little by little throughout the world giving us the understanding that we are forgiven and giving us the mission to spread that message throughout the world. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.